Welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smithers blooms in athletics and sports. Well, I am on my way to Raleigh, North Carolina, where we will celebrate the life of Mr. Eric Moore. And I am really grateful for his mentorship. He was the first person that I met as a student sports information person who used technology to tell the story of HBCU sports. And I was a junior in college when I saw this. I am honored that I have opportunity to salute him. I have to be very honest with you. This is very difficult because there were four pillars of individuals that showed me the way in the area of sports information. The first was LeCount Conaway. The second was Wallace Dooley. The third was Moore. And the fourth was Mike Wilson. And Mr. Moore was the last of the four. And I remember saying to him not too long ago, I said, take care of yourself because you're the last of the Mohegans. And that's definitely how I feel at this moment, that he represents camaraderie that matches no other. If you ever have had the opportunity to be in sports information at HBCU sports, you will see what I mean. Because there's something about people pulling together when someone else is hosting and making sure they all look good. The school, you may be your rivalry school, it may be whatever. And I will tell you that it's the envy of college sports of how HBCU sports information pulled together. That's been the whole conversation since we heard the passing of Mr. Moore, of how everyone pulled together. And I tell you a story that I'm really glad to share. So Mr. Moore and I both worked the Olympics in 96 at Morehouse. And this, and when I say this, this will not be a shock to some. You know, people underestimate staff members who come from HBCUs. And it's funny to me because most of the time, HBCU staff members know how to do more with less. And so Mr. Moore's assignment was to run the press room for all the interviews, post-game interviews. And if you know Mr. Moore, he is first class. I mean, he is the epitome of first class. You know, I think I might have seen him wear sweats maybe once or twice and my 30 years plus of seeing him. And if I saw them on him, it was not during game day. So we were astonished at the reception that we received. But I'm here to tell you, after those 3 weeks, folks knew who Eric Moore was and how he ran that press room. And he taught me how to use computerized stats for basketball, and I taught myself and my students how to run volleyball, computerized stats. And then I was offered to go work the Volleyball Olympic Festival for volleyball because of the fact that I had some experience with computerized volleyball stats. And of course, you know, we all learn how to do baseball and softball, but I had to get Greg Goins that night because he taught me how to do that. But he is the one who said we need to embrace technology because most of us are a one man, in my case, one woman shop, and this is what's going to keep us ahead of the game and be able to tell the story. And I will tell you, we were ahead of the game of most Power Five institutions, and Mr. Moore was one of the first ones to do computerized stats for the ACC, more directly the women's basketball tournament. So from our world in sports, this today is to pay homage to, many of you may know, the Honor Band Group. He used technology. He had a blog before there was a Facebook, before blogging was a thing. He had a site where you would go and get all the information about HBCU sports, and it was like a it wasn't a blog per se. It was when people could make comments. And I forgot the name of it. And it was up in the 80s. Or, no, for the 90s. It came on the scene in the 90s. And I know higher ed individuals who don't even know who Mr. Moore was. They would say, yeah, I'm on all the damn. I'm on all the damn. And I had the pleasure to hear Mr. Moore tell us about the launch of it. It was doing a football press. It was doing a football, right before the football preseason, and we had a meeting, and he shared how he came up with the name and what he was launching, and we were all cheering for him. And the name came from his mother and his father's name, and he combined the two to be Honor Dan. And so that's where I am on my way to, but then I did not want to. I didn't want to do a replay because we had already scheduled this, and for me to continue to do the show, during a day that we recognize him, actually pays homage to him because he told me that he was really proud of the podcast and what it was doing, and so. In honor of him, this podcast is dedicated to Mr. Eric Moore, the founder of Honor Band, one of the top people in HBCU sports, one of our leaders in Black COSIDA, which is called BCIDA. He was executive director of that organization for years. And so this show, November the 9th, 2022 is dedicated to him. Because I am going to the homegoing service of Mr. Moore, we will not have a live Meet the Contributors Facebook live today, but we did have just go back on the Facebook group and just put in Meet the Contributors and listen to the previous Facebook live. And I would say I was tickled to death to be able to watch the face of A.D. Ayanna Twitty as she took time away from, she was hosting two postseason contests on her campus. And as we were doing our Facebook Live, you could see her looking out her window to see if they won and to see her reaction. And look, here is how she figured out that they won. She said, I see people crying, and it's not us. And so that is just great. And so, yes, they did end up winning. Just an update on that. They did. She got two conference championships in 1 week. So, hey, people, we have winning athletic directors inside the garden, and this young lady's not even 30 years old. Okay, so guess what? Age ain't nothing but a number. But leadership has no gender. Leadership has no age requirement. Yes, yes, yes. And hey, to celebrate, Miss Tweedy, go and go to Amazon and purchase the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. Do that so you can hear about why I say she is what? The master facilitator. And I'm not just making that up. This girl is bad with a capital B. She definitely can control the room. And for those old heads, when you say, who can control the room, we say the MC, yeah, that's what we changed to master facilitator. But, yeah, she definitely controls the room. And just glad to support her. So I'm asking you to support her and I by going to get your copy today from Amazon, Significance in Athletics and Sports. And please, 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 if you have already, please put a review on Amazon. We have no reviews for this particular magazine. So we need reviews because that's what's going to make sure that our magazine pops up when people start searching on Amazon. A shout out to Seawall Foundation, who is creating media training for student athletes with name, image, and likeness on deck. This is so important. And I'm telling you, the more and more and more I see athletes taking to social media to vent out their displeasure, we've got to course correct for our young people because they're going to copy what they see. And that right there is a bad look for a young person trying to be recruited. So we have to unlearn these bad habits, and I'm just applaud Candy Waller for doing this because she definitely has a background in sports and media of Seawall Sports Entertainment. You can catch her often on her own Facebook page and YouTube station. But we really, really, really want to prepare our players for lights, camera, action so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, please email info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, at seawallfoundation.org. Another media partner of ours is Aisha Foy, the author of the book, Success is My Major. Get your copy today at successmajorbook.com. And I will. She asked me the other day, because I am in the process of negotiating a bulk order for her. I have an organization that's interested in providing the book to the young people. And so if you're interested in getting a bulk order, it is a very good book for teens, college kids, and high school kids who strive to be leaders. And this is, and as you will see, today is really a leader type, as a leader focus today, creating leaders through athletics. And one of the things I really, really, really like is the list of books that she mentions throughout the whole book as great resources. If you ever, if you're a connoisseur of personal development, professional development, this book is for you, and you see why you're going to want to give it to your top athletes, because let's be honest, many kids today, we used to call it spoiled, but the new term is entitled. And it's really not their fault because they're used to people giving them a pass or showing them a shortcut because they have certain talents. But when you get to a certain level, those talents will open doors for you. You got to start, as you say, all from the bottom, get to the top. And they haven't had to build that muscle, that resiliency. And they get down so low that they act out. And so we need to be able to train that kind of aptitude to see that this is just an opportunity to grow more of what we know you can be. So this booklet will help you get there with them. And I love books. Instead of telling somebody what they should do, when they read the book, they take ownership of the strategies to go about doing it. So get this book for yourself, successmajorbook.com. If you would like to consult with her about getting a book offer for your team, go to 757-654-5832. Again, that's 757-654-5832. Another resource that I always encourage is Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse by Tawana Smith. And the curse in this setting is the financial piece. You know, people make money, sign deals, and next thing you know, they're all gone. And it is a pit hole that many, many people find themselves in. And I'm going to give you one, like Steve Harvey, even though he's not an athlete, came into a lot of money over the years. But somehow or another, he trusted a so-called friend who never paid his taxes. So, to keep himself from going to jail, he went out here and hustled and got on Family Feud. He got on that show about the kids. I mean, I think about four or five that you see him on the screen. And that's not because he likes to work. It's because he had to pay a tax debt to Uncle Sam. Yeah, he didn't see all that great work he was doing. That was going to pay a debt. And I'm here to tell you, if we don't educate ourselves and our student athletes, all this great name, image, and likeness stuff that's going down, it ain't going to cut it. You know why? Because when these kids get these deals, they have to pay taxes. If you get over $600, you can't be on your parents' taxes. So therefore, you need to have some educated folks on the team. And that's what the book is about, how to get other folks on your team to avoid the curse. So this book is on Amazon, three different formats, paperback, audio, and paperback, audio, and ebook. Get your copy today on Amazon, okay? And let me see, make sure I all my papers are in order. Okay, yeah, give me, I know I got one more commercial. We have Ava Amaker, educational risk management consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. She likes to go from policy to practice. The center has the following: first responder training, sports and event staff certification, and workspace safety and personal training and operations. It's a joy to be able to share her expertise with you all. She is the real deal, I'm here to tell you. And I'm really suggesting that you become proactive and not responsive. Go to www.vigilancestc.com. vigilancestc.com. And that brings me to my guest of the hour, Dr. Karen Hall, Assistant Executive Director of the Osman Incorporated. She's an ESPN three-color analyst. And what I can't wait to talk about is the author of the book, 10 Tremendous Leadership Lessons. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Karen. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Karen.
I'm here.
All right.
Thank you for having me. I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. All right. So I'm excited about having you here, and I got several questions. We're going to jump right on in, and you tell the garden your journey from college to your current position.
Okay. Well, what a journey it's been. Again, thanks for having me on the show. So I'm a basketball passionate individual, so that's my sport. I accepted a scholarship to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, coming out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my hometown. 4 wonderful years there, great seasons, NCAA tournaments, no national championships, but we won conference championships, which is now the Mountain West Conference. 2 out of the 4 years in a trip to the WNIT, broadcast major. So the world of communications opened up for me right after I graduated. It was the color analyst of broadcast TV work that was of interest to me. So after graduation, flew back to Pittsburgh and started my TV career as an associate sports producer at our NBC affiliate here in Pittsburgh, which was wonderful. But, you know, when you stop bouncing a ball, you know, something happens. Like, you're, like, go through withdrawals. I found myself in coaching. Started as an assistant coach at Duquesne University here in Pittsburgh and went 20 years between all levels of collegiate athletics, mainly Division I as a head coach, and also have about 2-3 years as an assistant NCAA Division III men's basketball coach. So coaching was very good to me. Met a lot of good student athletes along the way and coaches and all the wonderful Final Fours. Then I moved into, actually, as I transitioned out of coaching, all my post-education, the master's and the doctorate degree was taking place for me while I was finishing up at a junior college here in Pittsburgh as a head coach. And then post-athletic coaching career, the whole idea of athletic administration was now in front of me. So presently it brings me up to working at Ozanam Inc. It's a 55-year program that I actually grew up in on that AAU trail. So we've been around for a long time. And basically today I get to say I engage in 4 careers, the athletic career, the collegiate athletic career, the television broadcast color analyst for ESPN3 and ESPN+. So, you know, the best time of the year for me is coming around. And then communications and leadership and education, because I'm also a professor at a university. So that is my journey in 40 seconds.
Well, that is outstanding. And that's
Thank
outstanding.
You.
And I do want to say, and I told you this when I saw you at Women Leaders in College Sports, I want to say thank you for your engagement inside the Chapman Garden group. I really appreciate that. That's what made your name stand out to me, because you continuously would comment and like different posts that we put in there. So would you just kind of speak to about the Chapman Garden as it relates to some of the things that you are involved with, and did it have any kind of an influence or enlighten you in some of the areas that you're involved in?
Well, I sure will. Well, you know, liking and commenting on the post, such phenomenal happenings for women in athletics around the country, and the chat in the garden, it highlights that. So whether it's talking about women engaging in new football opportunities, athletic administrators, elevating to new positions. I am so an advocate for what is next. Actually, that's the next book I'm working on, What's Next, because I'm one that, you know, yesterday's laurels is great, but what's next? So when I seen in the chat of the garden that all these women are doing phenomenal, whether they're reaching back. I know the NCAA, they does their leadership for the young student-athletes. Like, I love that, because we are motivating and sponsoring leaders of the future along with ourselves. So it's just very moving for me, and the fact that today I have an opportunity to be your guest is phenomenal. To me, that's like an elevation of my next for today.
So that's what moves me to pay attention, comprehend, and really digest what I am seeing when I look at the posts.
And so for me, I'm excited because I know I'm connected with a like-minded individual, because I look at all of this as leadership, and I've been a connoisseur of leadership, I want to say, since middle school. And so you have a book called 10 Tremendous Leadership Lessons, A Guide to Leadership and Learning. Would you tell us about that and let us know where you have presented some of the material from this book so people will know that you are a presenter and you present from your framework?
Yes, so the book was during COVID. Many great things happened during COVID, and my book was one of them. So post-doctorate, I was doing leadership learning labs here in Pittsburgh, and I did 10 of those. So over COVID, I wanted to write a book, and I had four of them in my mind, but I wanted to write a book where other people, it could assist other people. It's about other people, and that's our purpose, is to inspire, motivate, and to direct other people. So that's where my leadership book came from. So my speaking engagements obviously are in Pittsburgh, but I've spoken during the NCAA Women's Final Four. I think that was back in, I know it was pre-COVID, so it might have been, we were in Tampa. We were in Tampa. It was during the one of the pro-ams shootouts where women are working to make the WNBA and be seen by that level of coaches. So I had what I call leadership lab moments. So in between the players that were not playing, they could come up, and I had, for example, I had time management, I had elevating yourself, I had sponsorship versus mentorship. Some of the parts in my book, Attitude Dictates Altitude, right, as sustaining high performance championship levels, and they could choose it, right? And we do some quick hitters, the whole basketball notation in my brain, right, quick hitters for those moments. So I speak at those. I've spoken at conferences in New York City. I just was in one this summer. It was a honoring Bill Chamberlain, right? And so we had a youth summit. So I was able to speak about, present a speaking engagement at that point. But just many different places. I'm so open, like you, Monique, to share this leadership. It is about the influence. It has nothing to do with age, right? So you talked about middle school. Like, it's about influencing others and helping them that, hey, you are a leader, whether the leader is within, because we all have it. So how do we bring it out in other people, how to help them realize that, yes, you are a leader in different capacities. So I'm so passionate about the opportunities in which athletics has created, and this is another one, this whole leadership path. It's about journey, the leadership journey and path that I continue to move in.
Wow. Well, I want to dig a little bit about your AAU, do you actually do any of these teaching within your AAU capacity that you have a role in?
So through our O's and M program, we have an AAU team that we send out to different AAU tournaments. Mainly we have boys AAUs. I'm not on that AAU circuit coaching, but I'm always offering my services as an opportunity to speak to a large group of student-athletes, because that's really my target, student-athletes, coaches, and administrators, because we all can grow in our leadership, and that's my challenge to all of us. How are you growing in your leadership? How are you showing up as a leader? So that's what I work to do when we talk about that AAU level of athletics.
Yeah, I don't know if are you familiar with Boo Williams?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, that's what I spent a great deal of time, myself and my students. We are the marketing team, so of the arm as it relates to I'm not sure the facility, but the Boo Williams Summer League. And so,
okay.
I was not really familiar with AAU, but I really enjoy being able to guide the students, take what they've learned in the classroom, and be able to utilize it for entities such as that, and be able to put that on their resume. And so, speaking of experiences and put on their resume, you and broadcasting. Now that is that for in the area of women in that role. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So that was my goal heading out to UNLV, is that I wanted to broadcast women's basketball. And, you know, it has taken a long time for the ESPN3 to come around, but it is here. I had many opportunities, not just in Pittsburgh, but around the country, to work as a sideline reporter pre-ESPN. So I was I was in training, right? So when ESPN came, I was ready. So I have been training in different capacities as, like I said, a sideline reporter, and actually announcer. So when ESPN3 came, you know, you want to make sure that's the right phone call because you've been waiting so long. But to have an opportunity, like I've coached basketball at a high level, I've played at the highest level, and that's pretty much my life. So to have an opportunity to sit, watch, dissect, and engage in a conversation, because that's really what it is for the viewers, from the color analyst and the play-by-play, that you want to engage the listeners. Because you don't have to tell them what they're watching. I'm saying, why are the coaches having a player down the post? Why are they using screens and rolls, right? Why are they talking about cross-court passes, right? So that's what I want to share with the listeners. Because there's a specialty in coaching. There's a specialty in broadcasting. You want to be excited, engaging, right? Because there's some great moments when you watch games, correct? Some awesome moments that all these players are making. So you want to let the viewer feel like you are right there in the arena when you're on, you know, when you're calling the game. Yeah, so the broadcast color analyst, just thankful that it has come. I started in 2016 and started mainly in the Sun Belt Conference, moved around to the MAC Conference, Northeast Conference. I've done many different conferences and looking forward to do more. So between the leadership speaking engagements and the broadcast analyst work, I am available and ready to go. True professional.
So, of late I've gotten a lot of inquiries about looking for sports information directors, even though they have a new title, and I don't know what that is. Right now, it's not coming to me. And then, you know, social media content individuals. But, you know, with the Maria Taylors and the LaChana Robinsons, we're seeing more women of color with the sideline and the microphone. And, you know, when young people can see what they can be, they start aspiring for that. But what are some trainings that they can do to prepare them? Because they're not going to become Maria with a blink of eye.
Right. So a couple of things that those that are aspiring to be, you know what, work on, even in your school, like every school has like morning announcements, right? That's a great training ground. It's to just do the morning announcement. When there's opportunities in your area for someone to even just maybe write press releases, do that. Because you got to write content when you are a color analyst, so you just don't flip off your head, right? So you got to be able to do the research. So writing some kind of press release or a bio about someone, that's another strategy. Those that are aspiring to be, that's working on your writing skills. Right? Maybe if you need to have an opportunity to, and they come all type of ways. If you can, you know, go to your local radio station, or hey, it's technology, do a podcast, create a podcast.
Right?
I mean, that's a great training ground because it's just you, microphone, and then we all do it, but put it on social media. and just be consistent. Mm-hmm. Like consistency, and it becomes a passion. Like if it's a true passion of yours, as broadcast was for me, so I just kept working until that day came when I got that call from ESPN to say, hey, we don't need any more reporters. We're looking for color analysts. What a blessing. Because I asked about mm-hmm. reporting. They said, no, we have plenty of those. We need a color analyst in the seat. I mean, wow. Okay, I waited so long, mm-hmm. but I got the seat. But those are a few training mm-hmm. strategies that I just mentioned. But those podcasts are huge because you just flip it on social media and be consistent in what you do.
Well, Monet Davis is one of my former students. She took sports PR yep. with me, and so she shared with me that that was what she wanted to be commented. And I said, well, I'm going to let you do both, but you still got to be able to write it. And so, but from a teaching standpoint, I'm going to ask you a question that's somewhat the opposite of what I train my students to hear and check for. We've been talking about, in my race and gender class, the biases that commentary individuals insert, and how if you don't have a keen ear, you could be influenced in a way that you don't even know because the little subtleness that's dropped there. And I was right. mentioning about, I had football players in my class, and I had a young man get down on special teams, I mean, and did a tremendous hit, you know, a clean hit. And I said, now, if the commentary said, oh, look at that athleticism and how he got down there. And then I said to him, I said, so what did you do to be able to get down there? At first he said, I just ran fast. I said, no, that's not what you did. Tell me, what did you do to prepare to get down there?
Right.
He said, I watched him and I knew that he never calls a fair catch. He always calls a fair catch, so I knew I had a chance. So he researched his opponent. That means that he thought and he planned and he executed. It wasn't just athleticism. And I said, now, mm-hmm. you just bought right into it because I asked you, but I need you all to have a critical eye and ear to the influences with people with the mic. How do you, Dr. Karen, how do you do your color analysis to make sure none of your biases filter through in your commentary?
Well, I go back to myself as a player. Because everything you just mentioned is so true, because there's a work ethic that you, there's a work ethic, and there's a mastering of the actual just shooting a jump shot, making a clean hit. Like you have to learn how to do that. So it's just not athleticism. Like I'm like, I hear it all the time. No, there was a process to be able to make that particular hit or make that particular play. So when I am calling the game, I'm looking at the skill set that player had to use in order to make it look that great. So because we all have biases. But as a former mm-hmm. player, that's why for me, when I think of what I do, I'm coming from all angles, former player, former coach, now broadcast analyst, to bring it all together so that my biases don't come out, because you just don't shoot a three-point jump shot that snaps the net because that's what you do. Those are long hours. that you had to put mm-hmm. in the time, right? Those were days by yourself. I always say your shining moments are the ones that when you're doing it by yourself. Because when the mm-hmm. bright lights are on, that's what you expect to have happen because you put in the time. So that's how I really work on my biases and talk about skill sets of plays in which I see student-athletes making. And even for the college coaches on the sideline, they just didn't come up with a brilliant play for that moment. They've had training. They've had practices. So great call, coach. Okay, but what made it a great call? That's where I go mm-hmm. with it as a color analyst.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Behind the action.
Absolutely.
That's key. Yes. And, you know, and I would really love to see commentary with women of color in volleyball. you know, in soccer. And because that's what's going to drive young girls to want to be in these, because they can see somebody that looks like them and talking about it. That's what's going to grab their attention.
Right. Well, we're moving in that direction. I believe we're moving in that direction. It is truly, as you said, all about being able to mirror someone that looks like you, sounds like you, and they've had similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But, right, because we all just didn't wake up as an adult. We had the childhood process, mm-hmm. right, that brought us to where we are at this moment. So we all remember when who we seen, and we weren't seeing many people that look like us the way we do today, which is quite inspiring for those behind us.
And I promise you I'm going to go to break, but you just reminded me, about, you know, when I'm ecstatic for Dusty Baker.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm ecstatic for him. And because that was my first sport that I fell in love with, which was baseball, in the eighth grade. And I remember telling, I wasn't going to the high school homecoming game because the World Series was on. And I was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. But Dusty was on the other team. And but back then, you saw black men all around that game. And mm-hmm. now you don't. And there's a couple of reasons why. But the one thing, we're talking about commentary and reporters. So, you know, Dusty Baker, you know, won national championships. Okay, let me just back up in case nobody knows what I'm talking about. All right. Dusty Baker is the manager. All right. In other words, the coach, the manager for the World Series champion, the Houston Astros. And that's the only mm-hmm. reason why I was watching and paying attention, because Dusty Baker was the manager. Point was,
right.
you know, he could win a championship as a player, but could right. he win as the manager? And so here's
right.
the point why it was so significant. Being the manager is the coach, is the thought behind the people that are playing. Even though that you are the manager and the coach of grown men, you still have to strategize. And it was like, oh, yeah, he can't win it. He can't. You know, he don't have
right.
the thought power. So to see him win that, I was like, huh. And it was funny because I haven't really watched it. My mother's been watching the game. And when we mm-hmm. turned the channel, they had just won. Girl, you would have thought that I won the lottery. You hear me? Because I was like. But the female commentator asked him a question in the midst of the celebration. Well, you know, are you concerned about your contract? Like, say what? How many people are there? Most time you hear, where you going from here? I'm going to Disney World. But
right.
But I need the question you asked.
Yes, correct. So you talk about biases, right? Not, hey, ooh. Congratulations. How you feeling at this moment? What took you to get here? You know, how you know, thrilling is it for me? None of that. None of that, right? Contract.
Right.
That's the furthest thing from Dusty Baker's mind. The furthest. That is not even close. You know, he's thinking about getting doused by champagne.
So
biases you speak about.
Yeah. And we got to call it when we see it. Even though it was a woman, you know what I mean? But just don't do what you've seen that other people do wrong. Because you're afraid that you'll be seen as soft. I don't want you to be seen as ignorant. I want you seen as educated. Because here we are, two women, talking about the game of baseball. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
In an intelligent manner. And so that can be done. That can be done. But you talk about how he got there. You're talking about research. And I didn't do extensive research. But when I get it, I tell it. So Dusty Baker... And I'm a teacher at heart too, so I'm telling my class of football players, Dusty Baker got where he is because at 18 he had to get his mother's permission to go play professional baseball. Her mother wouldn't
mm-hmm.
sign the papers until she spoke to Hank Aaron, another icon.
Mm, wow.
And Hank Aaron said, "I'm gonna take care of him." So when Dusty Baker says, you know, at the table after the championship trophy awardee, he comes up, you know, up top to the desk part where people are up there, and he says, "I just wish my mom and dad and Hank Aaron were here." So that's how he gets there. There's people who looked out for him and took care of him, and that's really what it's all about. You know, we talk about coaching and leadership. You got to be able to, after you get there, you got to have your hand ready to give some information on how to navigate that path. But also, the young people got to be willing to take it.
Right. So I would say to that, because I'm hearing sponsorship, right? Like when those doors are closed. Like, who is talking about you, right? And from the youth on up to us and everyone else, because no one, I don't care what great position you're in, you did not get there on your own. So really, when I'm liking and commenting on posts that I see, that's where I'm coming from, because I know that person was surrounded by people who believed in them, they valued what they brought to them with their experiences. And really, Monique, you and I both know, that's all we want. We just want people to value what we bring to them with our experiences. And every last person that's on the post, somebody gave them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gave them a chance. And you know what? I'm looking forward to my day when you're posting about me. I'm so excited because I visualize myself when you're posting me on there in terms of elevation. And I'm so excited where I am at this moment, but it's about elevating. That's all about my leadership. Elevate. What's next? Don't rest on what you've done. All right, we all congratulate you. But what's next? What's next? Yes, ma'am.
All right. I love that. So we're going to take a short break here on Chatting with God with Monique A.J. Smith. And when we return, we'll hear some more from Dr. Karen Hall.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success Is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success Is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chapman Garden with Mrs. Bloom of Athletics and Sports. Well, I do have a couple of questions that we usually ask here. Since we're talking about books, what is a leadership book that you have read that has helped with your leadership?
So my book? That I read is Good to Great.
That you have read, not your book, but
yes.
Another somebody
yeah.
else's book.
Yeah, Good to Great by Jim Collins. I live by that book, Good to Great. I carry that book in my bag because
okay.
That is a book that moves me, and when I'm thinking about areas of how am I doing in my leadership, I go back to the chapters, Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was going to ask you a question about women leaders. And when I heard about Good to Great, I was at a Women Leaders Executive Institute back in the day. I was a member of the Leadership Institute in 99. So I'm an OG in that area. So tell me what brought you to the conference this year?
Yeah, so, again, I've had the opportunity to go to the Institute for Athletic Advancement through the IA with Women
okay.
Leaders. And the phenomenal, I mean, you know, coming from the basketball coaching sideline to athletic administrators, there's just as many phenomenal superpower women on the athletic
mm-hmm.
administrative side as there are on the coaching side. So I was thinking, oh, my goodness, I am so in the right place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are giving of their time. They're giving of their strategies. They're giving of how they got to where they are. And I thought, phenomenal. So since Women Leaders was back in person, there was no way that I wasn't going to go. Because now, not only in person, but every woman leader who's a speaker, very approachable. And they'll talk to you even more so about paths, about strategies, what you can do, kind of hold back on. Like there's all type of inspiring and motivating strategic ways to get to where you want to go from those who are in it, the experts, as I call them. And the actual total banquets that go on and you're hearing and you're watching women they're given their flowers, like Elfrida Gulf, who
mm-hmm.
we all know. I'm just, like, so tickled to have been there to see her get her flowers because, boy, in that room, we've all been touched by her somehow. I mean, she's known me since I was a 14-year-old kid in Pittsburgh. And to be able
mm-hmm.
to sit there and watch that and know, talk about influence, let's take a look at her. That's total influence, right? But Women Leaders does that. Like, they're not slow. They're not they put women out front, and even the young and emerging leaders. So that's really important because most of the super women I call are power panelists. They've been out there. But it's for those that
mm-hmm.
are doing what they do great that they need a platform. Like that's how they become elevated by women leaders. And women leaders in college sports, they do that so well. They got those circles that they have. You can go on the Zooms. I mean, there's always opportunity. So I was definitely going to come and get some more knowledge, words of wisdom, understand that I'm an expert in my field, right? We're all experts.
Mm-hmm.
But what's my charge? What's my challenge? It's not about me. It's about how do I lift someone else up, right? That's how it is. You have yours, but who else are you bringing with you? So I compliment you big time, Monique, as you have so many people that you've been able to influence and they're still bringing with you.
Wow. Well, I got 2 points to make on that one. First, Frida Goff, I would not be where I am without her. You're talking about being sponsored. She put me on committees that I didn't even know there was such a thing. She put me on my very first national committee, and I got in the mail all these notebooks because I was on the first Division II nominee committee where we were supposed to be making committees. And so I got all this stuff, and then I get a call or email. Did you get your package yet? I nominated you. Da-da-da. I was like, oh, that's how it happened. And so, yeah, talking about you when you're not in the room, that's our Frida Goff. And because of that, she will be on the cover of the 5th issue of Significance in Athletics. I'm excited about that. I just sent a photographer down to her house to take a picture, to do a photo shoot so she could be in the next magazine.
Nice.
Isn't that exciting?
Awesome. I mean, that is just tremendous. You know, we all need to learn from Elfrida because that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like we're supposed to bring others up. We're supposed to have an ear for someone or lend a word for someone, good, bad, or indifferent, or need the direction. That's what we do, because if we're resting on our own morals, then we missed it. We missed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the next person, the person in front of you, behind you, inside of you, underneath you. Everyone needs that lift, because as I've mentioned before, no one is in their current position by themselves. They didn't do it on their own. So I love the fact that you are highlighting Elfrida again and again and again. Love it.
Yes. Yeah. And my second point is I'm going to invite you to speak at our Advanced Academy. We have a membership piece where people pay us monthly, and we grow together. We advance together. And so I'll be contacting you because we meet every third Sunday at 9 p.m. It's a mastermind, if you will. We bring some education, and then they share their, you know, where they are, and they even feed off each other. So
nice.
I'm excited about our platform. So I will be contacting you to see about your availability.
I you know what? I appreciate that big time. I just appreciate all that you do. And, you know, again, just inviting me on today, and it was awesome when I seen you because I knew exactly who you were, women leaders, and now to be invited into your mastermind space, I just say thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah. And I want to say thank you, John Harrison, for being a conductor today and every Wednesday for me. She is the founder and the owner of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates on show guests and podcast follow-up, join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.